Well, that's it for today's episode of Jeopardy. I'm Joe Wagner, reminding you to get your transgender athletes spayed and neutered before they compete in female sports.
How's it going, everybody? I'm Dave Rubin. This is The Rubin Report. It's December 5th, 2023. We're live streaming on Rumble, Locals, and YouTube. Share, subscribe, tap that notification bell. And if you want to join us, as always, for the post-game show, rubinreport.locals.com. And tis the season to be jolly. So we have launched some new merch over at daverubin.store. I think we have some images of new things. You can get hats and hoodies and mugs and more, and you can support the show and all that good stuff and make your family joyous during the holiday season. The theme of today's show is that the far left and the media have become completely insane. Not mostly insane, not generally insane, completely, utterly, and totally insane. And we are going to expose it using clips from both corporate media and some stuff online. We're gonna show you The View. We haven't done anything with The View in a little bit. We've got Potato Man Brian Stelter, he's back. And we're gonna try to show you something that I think is worth you noting, which is that they really, really want Trump to be the nominee. They are pushing Trump because they believe he is the guy that Joe Biden can beat, and they are doing everything they can to make sure that Ron DeSantis gets no traction, because I think it is fairly obvious he has more of a crossover appeal. What I would like to do with that knowledge is figure out how can we build a bridge between, say, the Trump and DeSantis camps, if not the candidates themselves, between those of us who actually believe in freedom, who think the United States is, I don't know, pretty good, and who would like to see this experiment continue. So that's what we're gonna be doing today. Let's dive right into it. Brian Stelter, shamed Potato Man, formerly of CNN, who got fired from CNN because he was pushing all the lies on a program called Reliable Sources, which, had they only called it Unreliable Sources, would have been much more better. He then gets fired from CNN. He ends up teaching journalism at Harvard, which tells you everything you need to know about our academic institutions. They brought him back on The View yesterday to talk about the media and people who lie in the media. And he talked to pet Republican Alyssa Farah Griffin about just that. Irony is dead. Go.
Can I mention one thing? I do think, because I have a few friends at Fox, they have a handful of very good reporters like Trey Yanks, Jennifer Griffin, people who cover actual news. And it is so hard for those journalists, that they have to be next to basically people espousing propaganda.
That's what makes it a very uncomfortable environment. It's multiple things in one. Fox, though, it still is the beating heart of the GOP. Yeah. I think it's really important to study it for that reason. Mm-hmm. We have to know how it works and how it sometimes doesn't work, how it goes wrong, because we should all advocate to have a truthier, healthier environment. Truthier. That's why I love this show.
I like it.
Louder than the liars.
So that rather, what do we want to call him? Doughy, portly fella there. He wrote a book called Network of Lies while working for CNN. Strike one. He then goes on The View and says that he loves The View because they're truthy. Strike two. He then sits with a woman and takes questions from Alyssa Farah, who is a pretend conservative, on what is completely a wackadoodle woke leftist show. And they pretend that there are some good guys at Fox, but it's mostly propaganda. They need only a mirror to figure out where the propaganda is coming from. And again, this is a man who was fired. He was too radical for CNN. His lies had been debunked so many times on CNN, from Russia collusion, Brett Kavanaugh is a serial rapist, the Covington. We've done this a million times. You guys get all of it. We thought we'd just show you a quick compilation of Brian Stelter's best moments on CNN. People love these things because he's a portly fella who lies about a lot of stuff.
That would be funny if it wasn't so insidious. Ginning up hate. CNN is so much bigger than any single individual. Too much of the U.S. media chatter is distorted to the point of being dishonest.
Don't be so hateful. Is that too much to ask? I don't know. Maybe it is.
Trust in media. Has CNN lost trust? We're living in two different realities, supported by two different news worlds.
It's almost like we need two kinds of newscasts, or two versions of the weather report. The forecast is pretty sunny for the vaccinated, but it's quite bleak in some states for the unvaccinated. I'm glad that we work in a building where everyone's vaccinated.
Looking ahead to 2020, one reason why I'm taking you seriously as a contender is because of your presence on cable news. What does the press get wrong when covering Biden's agenda? When you watch the news, when you read the news, what do you think we get wrong? I'm gonna go a little bit rogue here, so bear with me, okay? Trump's odd behavior with Vladimir Putin is compelling so many people to ask, what does Putin have on Trump? Has Trump been compromised? When you see entire media companies essentially exist to tear down Joe Biden, is there an equivalent to that on the left tearing down Trump? You're cracking me up. The lying, the deception, the anti-media attacks, it is getting worse. Being clear about the threat to democracy is one of the most important things that American journalists can do. Reducing a liar's reach is not the same as censoring freedom of speech. Freedom of speech is different than freedom of reach.
I feel like he's filled with jelly. Like they just, like, you know what I mean? Like there's, I'm not making fun of anyone's weight. I guess I am to some extent, but there's something about his type of roundness. Like it's very jelly filled. Anyway, he continued on The View, and this Farrah Griffin woman, lady, again, whatever they're paying you, your soul could not have been worth this little. Here she is explaining that his book, Network of Lies, a man, again, who was fired from CNN for lying, and he's on The View, where they spread more lies to mainstream American women who are confused about a whole bunch of stuff than anywhere else, that his book, Network of Lies, is a very important book.
But you got this important book out, and I have to ask you, so after decades of running the company, Rupert Murdoch announced that he was going to step down. He's passing the baton to Lachlan Murdoch. There's a lot of intrigue around this family and this, you know, is it going to look different under the sun? Tell us what we can expect and what you learned in writing this.
Right. Rupert Murdoch was so cozy with Donald Trump at the start of the Trump presidency. Mm-hmm. They were best buds on the phone. The relationship fell apart. He hates Trump now, but Rupert's handed off to his son, Lachlan. And this is really real life succession. This is, you know, crazy billionaire Thanksgiving. You know, Lachlan Murdoch is just as conservative as his dad, but is not as interested in politics, doesn't care as much about politics. So I'm told he doesn't really like Trump, but he's also not doing anything to try to step in the way of this anti-democratic movement.
So it's ultimately driven by the ratings.
Well, that's right. And the other brother, James, he's on the outside. Maybe someday he can take over. I mean, that's sort of the cliffhanger in the book, what's going to happen in the event of Rupert Murdoch's death. But that's awkward to say out loud. And right now, James is just on the outside.
Right. And he's less conservative, correct?
Yeah. He definitely has more of a vision of dragging Fox back to reality.
You really need to understand how these people operate in media world. Do you think that Brian Stelter or anyone that Brian Stelter knows has any access to the Murdoch family, has any real insight into the meetings that the family is having at their Thanksgiving parties or how one might feel about Trump or anything else? He also did a little of the accidental pull the curtain back and see how ridiculous the whole thing is when he basically was like, well, the son isn't going to really do anything to stop Trump. Well, why would that be the job of a news organization to stop a particular candidate? I thought they were supposed to report on the truth, but I'm old school. Anyway, I don't really have a segue for this one, but here's Sunny Hostin explaining that her family doesn't like her.
There is a scandal in the Hostin household.
Another one?
Another one.
Y'all are scandal-filled.
We are a scandal family we rule by committee, which we need to stop doing. I ordered an artificial gold tree this year.
Ooh.
And it's fabulous.
How Trumpish.
I was just going to say.
It's just gold. And my daughter.
That sounds very Trumpish.
Do you have a picture? Is
it? I do have a picture. I don't know if we can show it, but I said, Paloma's like, yay. And Gabriel was like, that is not good for the environment. And I said, yes, it is. It's better for the environment. And he's like, it's horrible. And then my husband was like, what is that? And so everybody's turned against me in my house just because I'm trying to be eco-friendly. And then I just read this.
Eco. And then
I just read the stuff about the tree that you just bought.
I just don't want to put near your dog.
Gabriel was right. Real trees help fight climate change.
My kids.
Nobody likes you, lady. She's also trying to be eco-friendly. I think she means eco-friendly, unless she's being friendly in a cave. Echo, echo, that's an echo, 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 echo. Eco, ecological. Like, okay. So what other conservative outside of Alyssa Farah is carrying water for the left in the media? I'm going to tell you on the other side, but let's talk about Oxford Club first. Guys, I want to share something truly exciting. Picture this, an investment opportunity that's been quietly generating substantial income outside of the chaos of the stock market. This isn't your typical stock, bond, or option. It's something bigger, something that's been delivering incredible returns. We're stepping into an unprecedented energy bull market akin to the booming 70s, where the demand for oil is skyrocketing. Think about it. China's hunger for energy, the U.S. replenishing reserves, and the global conflicts altering the oil landscape. With Russia's exports disrupted and OPEC scaling back, oil supply has plunged precisely when demand is soaring. Predictions are in. Brace yourself for much higher oil prices. Global demand is set to hit a staggering 101 million barrels per day, driving prices and royalties to new heights. But here's the game changer: oil and gas royalties. Picture collecting income without the roller coaster ride of drilling, exploration costs, or workforce management. Just sit back and reap the rewards from oil sales. Now the golden opportunity we're talking about: a Permian Basin royalty stream, the crown jewel of oil reserves. Warren Buffett's wagered a cool $12 billion on this region. And listen to this. While stocks, bonds, and crypto stumbled, this royalty stream soared with a staggering 149% returns in 2022 alone. Quarterly revenue growth boasting an astounding 717% and over $42 million in rev over the past year. Consistency is key, right? Well, this royalty stream has been serving up monthly dividends and payments without fail since 2000, 276 consecutive months of steady income. So listeners, imagine being part of this success story. Don't let this opportunity slip by and step into an investment that's proven lucrative and ready to fuel your financial future. Go to 2024oilboom.com or click the link below and get started today. Okay, so I always give Alyssa Farah a little extra ribbing because it's like, okay, Sonny Hostin, you're evil, you're racist, your family doesn't like you, we get it. Joy Behar, you have Trump derangement syndrome. There's too many injections in your face. One got too close to your brain. You've lost your mind. Whoopi, you're smoking too much weed, drinking too much eggnog. Okay, those are all easy ones. But Alyssa, because she is the pet conservative, I always feel that I have to kind of needle her a little bit extra because it's for a check that she is selling out all of her beliefs. The other ones, it's like, I believe their brains are broken. This girl is just like, I'm taking the cash. I'll say whatever you want. And I'll pretend to be a Republican while destroying anyone valuable and sort of lifting up all of the pathetic other pet Republicans like Mitt Romney, who she used to work for. Anyway, speaking of those types of Republicans, who's making the rounds? She's back, baby. Sure, she lost her congressional seat by like 60 points. Nobody likes her, and she should disappear and not be heard from anywhere. But Liz Cheney, that's right, she's back on the mainstream media, because there's nothing more that the mainstream media loves than a pathetic loser Republican who will take out other Republicans. And here's Liz Cheney, again, woman who lost her congressional seat by something like 40 or 60 points, talking about that scary orange man.
We're facing a situation with respect to the 2024 election where it's an existential crisis, and we have to ensure that we don't have a situation where an election that might be thrown into the House of Representatives is overseen by a Republican majority.
So you would prefer a Democratic majority?
I believe very strongly in those principles and ideals that have defined the Republican Party. But the Republican Party of today has made a choice, and they haven't chosen the Constitution. And so I do think it presents a threat if the Republicans are in the majority in January 2025. He's told us what he will do. People who say, well, if he's elected, it's not that dangerous because we have all of these checks and balances, don't fully understand the extent to which the Republicans in Congress today have been co-opted. One of the things that we see happening today is a sort of a sleepwalking into a dictatorship in the United States.
Donald Trump a fascist?
I think that he certainly is employing fascist techniques. I think that the tools that he's using are tools that we've seen used by authoritarians, fascists, tyrants around the world.
It's so interesting. I'll unpack it a bit. But notice she doesn't really say anything. And this is what they so consistently do. And when I was on Real Time on Friday with James Carville, he did the same sort of thing. They were talking about the scary Republicans. And they're mean, and they're going to usher in fascism, and you've never seen people like them, and they're really scary, and they're coming for your freedoms, and they want to be dictators. But they never lay it out. They never lay out, how are they going to do it? What are they going to do? They're just scaring you with all the stuff. So first off, what I'd like to know from Liz Cheney, because she said that they would gladly, these new Republicans led by fascist Donald Trump would gladly destroy the Constitution. Now, she references checks and balances. We do have checks and balances. So let's say Donald Trump came in and said, I am taking over. We are not going to have three branches of the government anymore. I am president. I am king. Well, we do have three branches of government, and the courts would stand against him, and Congress, even if some of the people have gotten a little wacky, would stand against him. It's, you can't just rip it up just like that. Now, you might say, actually, that having the government of the United States prosecuting, selectively prosecuting, a former president and a current presidential candidate for various trumped up, no pun intended, charges, going against him for things that other people have done, like Joe Biden and Mike Pence when it comes to classified documents, or going after his businesses in New York, like all of the stuff that you all know about. You might say that's a little kind of fascisty, right? It's a little fascisty, like, because, you know, he was a businessman and you're going after his businesses. That helps other competitive businesses, and it's the government doing it, and it's that collusion between government and business that is the fascist thing. So they accuse, of course, Trump and Republicans and basically you and me of doing all the things that they are willfully doing. But she continued, because she's got to keep people scared, and she's making the rounds. This is what, it's a really good career. So I tip my hat to you, Liz Cheney, for keeping your career and your grift in an Alyssa Farah style way going. She not only made it on that show, she also made it to the televised mental institution known as MSNBC with Rachel Maddow.
You know, there was a moment right after January 6th where I was having dinner with my husband and our two youngest kids, who happened to be our sons. And I looked at my sons across the dinner table, and I had this realization, you know, I grew up in a country where I didn't have to wonder if we were going to have a peaceful transfer of power in the United States. And all of a sudden it occurred to me, my God, maybe they won't be able to say the same thing. And that is why it's so fundamentally important that we ensure Democrats, independents, Republicans, that we work together, we vote together, we make clear that Donald Trump is not an acceptable alternative. He is not the lesser of two evils. He is a completely unfit man for office. He's already shown us what he would do, and he can never be near the Oval Office again.
Sounds
a vote for Donald Trump may mean the last election that you ever get to vote in. And again, I don't say that lightly, and it I think is heartbreaking that that's where we are, but people have to recognize that a vote for Donald Trump is a vote against the Constitution.
Well, lady, you don't say it lightly, but you do say it totally dishonestly. Look, I have been very critical of Trump. I have a lot of Trump people constantly pissed at me. Even when I defend him or I say that if it doesn't work out for DeSantis, I will support him. I think the way he has run this campaign and being afraid of debating and lying relentlessly about DeSantis and Florida and the name calling and all of the behavior, I think, has been absolutely abhorrent, and it is not good for democracy. And I don't think, even if he becomes president, that he will fix much of this stuff. I just don't think he can staff properly and all those things. Notice how I just made specific criticisms of behavior, a staffing issue that is a legitimate issue, the fact that he'd be a one-term president, that he's got vengeance on his mind. There are things that you can specifically say about him that are problems. But not these broad things that if he comes in, it will be the last time you ever vote. My God, it will be the last time you ever vote. But there's this weird thing with Trump, which is that the media, which on one hand, they want to scare the F out of you related to Donald Trump because he's Hitler and a Nazi and a fascist. That's a lot. On the other hand, they really constantly are propping him up. Again, when I went on Real Time, every time I brought up something good that DeSantis did, they tried to turn it back to Trump because the corporate press wants Trump. They know his negatives are high. They know the amount of people that hate him. They know all the sideshows and the incompetence and all that stuff. And they also know that Joe Biden has dementia and they are dragging his old bones to the finish line. So you need a really beatable candidate. The juxtaposition of having, say, a young 45-year-old mentally and physically fit Ron DeSantis with a track record and a vision on stage with Joe Biden is a huge problem for them. It's much less of a problem to have Donald Trump on stage with Joe Biden, which, by the way, I don't know that anyone has said this publicly. I'm going to take a prediction right now. Joe Biden will not debate, period. There will be no debates. Trump has set a horrible precedent as it comes to debates. You don't have to debate. Yeah, I have my reasons. I'm up by 50 points in these polls. I have my reasons. Well, Joe Biden, they don't want him to debate, obviously. They really don't want him to debate DeSantis because it'll be just so stark, the difference between the two. But they don't want him to debate Trump either. And the hit that he would take by not debating, people would be like, oh, Biden should debate, would be much less than putting him on stage and having a mental breakdown. So Trump has set a horrible precedent that Biden will use against Trump and the Republicans and everything else. But anyway, it's becoming just increasingly obvious. They just want Trump. They want Trump because they know he's beatable. And now I'd like to show you some video from ABC News. ABC News, you're not going to believe this, guys. It's owned by the Disney Corporation. And Disney is no fan of Ron DeSantis because he took away all of their special rights that they had here in the state of Florida. He evened the playing field. This is something that Nikki Haley and several other people, including Mike Pence, were very critical of Ron DeSantis for removing corporate cronyism. But of course, he did the right thing, and I think most people do see that. But here's ABC News, Good Morning America, and they're very excited that DeSantis is apparently struggling in these polls, and you know they very clearly seem to want this orange fella.
Race for the White House now. The Republican candidates are descending on Iowa ahead of the first contest of the campaign season next month. Rachel Scott has the latest on that. Good morning, Rachel.
George, good morning to you. We are just 6 weeks out from the Iowa caucuses. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis going all in on that state, visiting all 99 counties. But he's losing ground to Nikki Haley, and he's still far behind Donald Trump.
This morning, all eyes on the Hawkeye state, with just over a month until the Iowa caucuses.
We did the 99. Now we need caucus night to victory. God bless.
Governor Ron DeSantis reaching a milestone over the weekend, visiting all 99 counties in the state.
We are going to win the Iowa caucus, and that is going to propel us to being the 47th president of the United States.
But problems are mounting for the Florida governor. Tensions running high within his super PAC, now moving on to its third CEO in just 2 weeks. And DeSantis is on the attack as he loses ground to former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley.
What I would just say is she clearly is not a conservative. I think if you look at her record as South Carolina governor, people can't even identify any major achievements that she had.
Still, Donald Trump is the clear front runner, mocking his rivals at a rally this weekend.
We hit him very hard, and he's been falling out of the air like a very seriously wounded bird, right?
You see what they did there? Who do you think they really fear? They're going after DeSantis. By the way, they keep telling you that he's losing ground to Nikki Haley. I don't know anyone that's supporting Nikki Haley. I know that there's, you know, the Koch network, I guess, is supporting her, and there's some corporate stuff behind her. I like her personally. She has been to my house for dinner. She is a lovely, lovely, lovely human being. But the corporate press kind of likes her more than they like Ron DeSantis. And shouldn't ABC, every time they talk about Ron DeSantis, say, and by the way, Ron DeSantis demolished Disney, who owns this network? Wouldn't that be an honest way of assessing it? But then they tell you he's losing ground to Nikki Haley. Again, there's just no evidence of that. How many of you know anyone that's supporting Nikki Haley? Is Nikki Haley drawing big crowds anywhere? Oh my God, the Haley movement. Like, it just doesn't exist, right? It just doesn't. We all know that. The Chris Christie movement, it's huge. Chris Christie even seems less jelly-filled to me than Stelter, somehow. Like, it seems more natural where there's the jelly thing with Stelter. Anyway, but then, of course, they say, and he's losing to Donald Trump. And then they play the Trump clip like Trump's the good guy now. See, he's spinning and spinning, spinning out of control because they want Donald Trump. Here's how ABC covered the Ron DeSantis-Gavin Newsom debate. And you tell me if this seems in any way congruent with what you saw out of that debate.
Now, last night's debate between Florida Governor Ron DeSantis and California Governor Gavin Newsom, a red state, blue state showdown. Chief Washington correspondent John Carl here with the highlights. Good morning, John.
Right at the start of the debate, California Governor Gavin Newsom, who isn't running for president, taunted Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who is running but trailing badly, with a reminder that neither of them would likely be on the ballot next fall.
There's one thing in closing that we have in common is neither of us will be the nominee for our party in 2024.
The debate was, however, something of a foreshadowing of the case Republicans will bring against President Biden.
People used to be able to work hard and get ahead. That is not true under Joe Biden.
And the kind of defense Democrats can offer of what Newsom called Bidenomics.
3.9% unemployment, the lowest black unemployment in American history, the lowest unemployment for Hispanics in American history, the lowest unemployment for women in 70 years, the lowest black poverty rates in history.
For DeSantis, it was a chance to try to inject some energy into a campaign that badly needs it, as Newsom gleefully pointed out.
You're trolling folks and trying to find migrants to play political games, try to get some news and attention so you can out-Trump Trump. And by the way, how's that going for you, Ron? You're down 41 points in your own home state.
Less than a year ago, DeSantis was leading Donald Trump in polls of Republican voters. But he has been losing ground for months, now trailing Nikki Haley.
Okay, so first off, there is no evidence that he is trailing Nikki Haley. They seem to want Haley. You see that, what's happening here? Again, this is a news organization that's owned by Disney. So do you think they have a little problem with Ron DeSantis? Secondly, the clips that they just showed you there, every single one was to make Gavin Newsom look as good as possible, right? And every single one was to make Ron DeSantis look as bad as possible. And you would think if the same network thinks that Donald Trump is a fascist, Hitler-like, Nazi dictator, that they might be helping the guy that could take him out. But the truth is, DeSantis is the one guy that they are actually afraid of. Like, you just have to understand basic psychology here. So now I want to show you something. I was so absolutely elated to see this yesterday. Jordan Peterson finally sat down with Ron DeSantis. They did it over video. It wasn't in person, unfortunately. But it is an absolutely wonderful one-hour video. And Jordan set out, I highly recommend you guys watch the full thing. We're going to show you two clips right now. But Jordan set out to do something that I thought was really nice. He said at the top, you know, everyone gets it on policy. You have great policy. You are competent. You don't lie the way politicians do. He laid it out really nicely. He said, what I would like to know is a little bit more about what makes you tick. I want to know a little bit more about your history, personality, sort of how you go about making decisions. And it was really, really great. And I wanted to show you two clips. Well, take a look at the first one.
If you're going to be on the political landscape, you have to be extroverted, generally speaking. And one of the things that extroversion, especially in combination with less agreeableness, tilts people towards is a kind of narcissism. And so there's a lot of people in the political domain, media, entertainment, as I said, who are in the public eye, who tilt towards narcissism. But the great leaders that I've seen are people who are very good at listening, who are very good at building teams, and who might balance their ambition with conscientiousness. Now, it seems to me very clear that you're a conscientious person because you stress hard work continually. And you also say that you enjoy it. And those are hallmarks of someone who's conscientious. And that's a very good trait personality predictor of long-term success. It's the best predictor after general intelligence. What I'm curious about, the mechanics of how you go about building a team, how you've done that in Florida, and what you think you might bring to bear if you were in Washington. I read a fair bit about Donald Trump's first year in office, and it was definitely the case that it was hard for him to build a functional team.
Okay, so that was obviously Jordan sort of setting up what the whole premise of the interview was going to be. Now let's get into a little more of them actually talking about how you build an effective team.
I don't need the credit. And in fact, when things don't go as well, one of the things a leader has to do is say, okay, I'm responsible for that. So there are times, and I think you can't be a really good leader if you try to micromanage anything. I mean, you've got to set the vision, set expectations, and you've got to give people the opportunity to do it without you picking at them. And that's the only way I think you can really do well. The flip side to that, though, is that sometimes when you delegate like that,
the job doesn't get done and people may do things that are not in line with the vision. And so what you just have to be able to do is you just have to take the necessary action to correct that. Sometimes you got to replace personnel, sometimes just internal course correction. But I think it's important that you praise the people that are working for you in public and you censor in private. I don't believe in throwing people under the bus. I think they got to know that you're going to have their back.
What's that thing I always tell you when you hear the truth? Like, it's just kind of easy to hear and you can sit in your chair and you don't feel that tension, because lies actually, like, they fray the very nature of reality, and you know when someone's lying. And here he is calmly laying out how he believes you should build a team and where you should give credit and how you shouldn't throw people under the bus and all that. And you could really see, and again, I hope you guys will watch the full hour, and I hope that they do it again before Iowa, because they were just beginning to scratch the surface. And DeSantis talks about his childhood and his family. Like, it's really a different interview than you've ever seen. But you get that good insight into what makes him tick. And when you have someone who actually is decent and is out there trying to do the right thing, what you get are good policies. And that's exactly what we have here in Florida. So now I wanna just jump back, and I think you've probably seen them. I wanna show you two clips from that debate with Newsom, because Newsom stood up there and lied about absolutely everything, including Black and Latino unemployment at the all-time low. He lied about absolutely everything. Every time Hannity showed a stat, people leaving Cali and going to Florida and talking about taxes, every time Newsom disputed it or just pretended it didn't exist. Here's DeSantis just laying out some truth about why people have moved to Florida and what's going on in California.
How does paying $7 a gallon gas help working people? That doesn't help working people at all. How does paying an 8% sales tax help working people? That doesn't help working people at all. They have the highest taxes in the nation. People flee to be able to save money to get out of California. And you have working class people that move to these other states. Their dollars go much further. But here's the thing. They want to take this Bidenomics and they want to double down on this for the next 4 years. How many people are able to afford groceries now compared to what you were doing 3 or 4 years ago? I talked to people, you know, I talked to a woman who had a cart full of groceries going in, and they're ringing it up. And it got to be so expensive, she has to take a lot of the stuff out. That didn't used to be the case. People used to be able to work hard and get ahead. That is not true under Joe Biden. And you know what, Sean, one more final thing. California's unemployment rate is 60% higher than Florida's unemployment rate. Our unemployment rate is 2.8%.
Look at the way Newsom just smiles through that. They have 60% more unemployment in California than Florida. Florida is freaking flourishing. And I know you know it, and I know it can probably be repetitive when I say it, but this is the choice we have to make. Do we want competency and reality and good governance, or do we want more lunacy? Now, I get it that the Democrats are offering us drive right off the cliff lunacy. I think the Trump thing's a different version of that, that would be at least delay it a little or be slightly different. But you can see that DeSantis is clearly laying out what the better option would be. Let's just do one more with DeSantis and Newsom.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's deja vu all over again with that flurry of lies. This is a guy that says the Biden administration is not lying to the public about the border. They go to the White House briefing room every day. They say the border's secure. They are lying to you. We know that that's not true. Gavin Newsom is lying to you when he says somehow I supported these things, which I didn't do. He's also lying to you about what it's going to take to solve this problem. California is a sanctuary state. They thumb their nose at federal immigration law, and this has real consequences. There was an illegal alien, Herbert Nixon Flores, who was in LA, in custody. He was a repeat criminal. ICE wanted to take him into custody because then they would be able to deport him. LA refuses to work with ICE, and so they wouldn't turn him over. They end up releasing him on the street. He ends up murdering the mother of a 3-year-old little girl. That Those policies are deadly. They do not work. The Martha's Vineyard transport, Martha's Vineyard said it was a sanctuary jurisdiction. Kind of reminds me about Gavin Newsom when he restricted Californians, then he went to the French Laundry. These liberal elites, they like to impose burdens on you. They don't want to have to face the consequences of their actions. So we've got a lot of elites who want open borders, yeah. who lecture everybody else about it. Then the minute they have to deal with any of the consequences, oh man, all hell breaks loose. Well,
Okay, so I don't have to offer much analyzing there because every single thing he said there is true, and particularly as it pertains to the border, and you know it. We're going to cover some more videos tomorrow. There is some craziness happening on the border in Arizona right now with people just absolutely pouring through at the same point, as DeSantis correctly points out, as the administration will tell us that the border is secure and everything else. But the reason I wanted to show you that clip was really to get us to the next segment, which is about the lying, because they lie about everything, as DeSantis just said right there, as it pertains to immigration. But they have lied about virtually everything for so long that it is hard to figure out when they're lying anymore. But one of the things that they're constantly lying about is that Donald Trump is racist, right? And by extension, the Republicans are racist. And by the way, even though DeSantis doesn't get pinned as racist that often, if he is the eventual nominee, they will push that on him too. Yes, they do say he's racist. He didn't want that Black African American studies course where they were gonna teach queer theory in Florida, so that made him racist. But like, they haven't like fully done that one with DeSantis just yet. But everything the Democrats and the mainstream media do is based on a lie. So what would be the best example of this? Let's talk about Charlottesville for a moment, because, you know, a couple times in the last week or two, I've mentioned how that Joe Biden launched his campaign launch video was a lie. It was about the Charlottesville incident and very fine people on both sides. We have not shown you that video in about 2 years. Here's just a segment of it. Now, just one more time. This is when Joe Biden announced his campaign. This is the video they put out to say, I'm running for president. It was based on a lie. Enjoy.
Charlottesville, Virginia is home to the author of one of the great documents in human history. We know it by heart. We hold these truths to be self-evident. That all men are created equal, endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. We've heard it so often, it's almost a cliche, but it's who we are. We haven't always lived up to these ideals. Jefferson himself didn't, but we have never before walked away from them. Charlottesville is also home to a defining moment for this nation in the last few years. It was there on August of 2017 we saw Klansmen and white supremacists and neo-Nazis come out in the open. Their crazed faces, illuminated by torches, veins bulging, and bearing the fangs of racism. He said there were, quote, some very fine people on both sides. Very fine people on both sides?
Joe Biden later in that video goes on to explain that that was the moment that he decided to run for president, right? He didn't run for president when Barack Obama, who he was obviously his vice president, when Obama finished up his two terms, right? Hillary ran. So it seemed like Biden was out, but then he frames it as if that moment with those bulging veins and the neo-Nazis and the white supremacists, and then Donald Trump saying very fine people on both sides, I had to run for president. Well, you're not gonna believe this. Using the latest in technology, we have the actual video of what Donald Trump said that day.
It's fine. You're changing history, you're changing culture, and you had people, and I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis and the white nationalists, because they should be condemned totally. But you had many people in that group other than neo-Nazis and white nationalists.
So he condemns the neo-Nazis and the white nationalists. That's what he did on that very day. And Joe Biden ran a campaign. And think about the gall of these people. They knew that that Trump video was out there, but the mainstream media has so much power over everybody. And this is why they hate Elon Musk, because he's freeing our ability to be able to get video out there to counter this. And this is why I do this show on Rumble, so that we can counter this nonsense. But they had the gall, knowing that they have so much cultural power over us and they own all of the media institutions and everything else, that they can literally have a man with dementia announce that he's running for president because of something that is a lie, that is the most simply, easily debunked thing. And virtually nobody has done it. Nobody has done it, and that lie has run rampant for years. Donald Trump was talking about very fine people on both sides of the debate as it pertains to what you do with these old statues, meaning some people might say a Robert E. Lee statue is a historical document, let's say, and some people might say, well, he was a bad dude and he was for the Confederacy. We should debate what we should do with those statues. That is a legitimate debate, and there are very fine people on both sides of that debate. Should we put it in a Robert E. Lee statue? Should they be moved and put in a museum, perhaps? Should there be a counter monument right next to them, a plaque, something like that? You can honestly have a debate about that and not necessarily be a neo-Nazi or a white supremacist, but Trump goes out of his way to do it. You guys get it. Anyway, I'm bringing all this up because I think the important thing for me to be able to do at this moment is defend Trump when it is necessary, which I have no problem doing, even though I have just spent 20 minutes on today's show clearly laying out that I think Ron DeSantis is a better candidate. Now, unfortunately, what we've seen is that the pundit class is just going in their directions. Everyone's just going to wherever their audience is and basically like spoon feeding you guys garbage. And I refuse to do that to you. I think you guys deserve better. And if that's what you want, then there's another show that you should be watching. So I will call balls and strikes as I see them. And one other guy who I'm so proud to call a friend and a colleague through what we do at Rumble is Dan Bongino. Dan Bongino is on the Trump side of this thing. I am on the DeSantis side of this thing. But Dan is calling balls and strikes the way I am. And he saw me on Real Time call out this nonsense with James Carville. And he gave me a little credit. And I think it's worth, so I'm playing this not to pat myself on the back. I'm playing this to give Bongino a little credit because we are on opposite sides of this thing, but we're both fighting for truth and for America. And I think that's important to note.
Carville was on Bill Maher this weekend with a friend of mine, Dave Rubin, who did a good job, by the way. And I credit him. He's a DeSantis guy, but he's my friend and a good friend. And he did the right thing. He could have knocked Trump on his Charlottesville thing, and Dave didn't. And this is the kind of stuff I credit people with, even when we don't support the same guy. He's a good man. Okay? He can, you know, he can fight for his guy. Here's Carville. This is a sign here. They are ready to go full Charlottesville on Trump, even though that good people thing is a total hoax. Check this out.
The kids seem to be with the Palestinians. And the older generation seems to be with Israel.
Well, the kids are with TikTok. They're with whatever TikTok tells them to be for, basically.
Well, that is where a lot of their...
What would a good people on both sides of Charlottesville? I don't know. Did I hear that or did I make that up? That Trump said they're good people on both sides.
He didn't say that.
He did not. He said it, but a sentence later he said,
I'm not talking about the white supremacists and the neo-Nazis.
It's like...
What is he laughing about, Carville? What is he laughing about? Trump literally said, I'm not talking about those people. That's what he actually said. Folks, Carville said, this is not an accident, okay? Although that may not have been an intended part of his little monologue there, whatever the hell he was doing on Bill Maher's show. It's now clear to me that now that the shit Biden record is totally not savable, and that MAGAnomics is starting to trend. No, I'm not kidding. I didn't make that up. Don't credit me with it. MAGAnomics, people are starting to go back, go, wait, where's my wallet? Wait, it was a lot thicker in the Trump years. Holy shit, I'm losing money with Biden. Now that MAGAnomics is starting to trend, that people are starting to go, all right, whatever. You don't like his personality. You don't like this. He's too much of a Queens guy, a New York guy, Trump. Yeah, I don't really care. I want my business to succeed. The Biden team's freaking out. So how do you get people to hate him? You got to go full Charlottesville.
You got to go full Charlottesville. And again, even though, as Dan just said, we happen to be on different sides in this primary, the side that Dan and I are on is the side of truth. It's the side of America. So I have no problem uniting with Dan Bongino against the forces that will lie relentlessly against James Carville, who at this point, like either James Carville he's a complete liar, like he's just like a Democrat hack, or he's an idiot who shouldn't be on television. Now, I say that meaning I spent some time in the green room with the guy right beforehand. He wasn't mean. We had a nice little chat for a moment. And as I said to you yesterday, the next time I go on the show, I'm not going to sit in the green room with the other guests. Because once you become friendly for a moment with somebody, it's hard 10 minutes before to be kind of laughing with somebody or how your kids or tell me about your life. And then they say something idiotic on the show and you kind of want to pull the punches. So you could see the way I didn't jump on him, but I said, well, actually, here's what happened. But either Carville has, he's either a complete liar, which he's a Democrat campaign spokesman. So, you know, in essence, he probably is a complete liar, or he's an idiot. But either way, I don't see how you could put someone like that on television anymore. Anyway, Dan, you watching this, if you don't see eye to eye to me, anyone else that believes in truth and freedom in America and wants to get out of this nonsense and not call all of the people who are actually generally standing up against racism, racists and everything else, we got to figure out a way out of this. And I think one of the interesting things that's happening right now is that we are getting this cross section of people who are calling out the BS more and more. And they're doing it in a way, often using provocative language, because they have been pushed into a corner and there is nothing else to say other than this little compilation we're about to show you from Dana White, Tucker Carlson, and Elon Musk.
And one of our big sponsors called and said, take that down. You know what I said? Well, f*** yourself.
Yeah.
Well, f*** you.
Yeah.
Don't ever f*** call me and tell me who to vote for.
Yeah.
And if your recourse is, you're a bad person for not believing me, f*** you. That's my response. F*** you.
Blackmail me with money? Go f*** yourself. Go f*** yourself. Is that clear? I hope it is.
Dana White, Tucker Carlson, and Elon Musk don't have a ton in common politically or culturally or probably where they're from or any of that stuff. But why are these people being pushed into a corner? You know, I was watching that just now. I was thinking, look, over the last couple of months, it's kind of become a running joke on this show how often I've either said the F-bomb or tried not to say it, or sometimes I'm left with nothing else, or like, and it's like, that's what they're trying to do with us. They're trying to, by through censorship, through lying, through all of the tricks that they have, they are pushing the rest of us into a very bizarre place where we don't have much other than F you, enough is enough. And maybe that attitude is what we need to really get to the other side of this thing. I think it probably is. I want to show you one more because my friend Roseanne Barr was on Bill Maher's podcast talking about another way. It's not just through censorship. It's not just through big tech. It's also that they will come for your jokes. If you just tell a joke that they happen to not like, they will try to take you out. And remember, what was it, 5 years ago now when they did the reboot of Roseanne Barr's sitcom? The original one was Roseanne, and then I think the reboot was called The Conners. It was the number one sitcom in America when they brought it back. Number one sitcom comedy in America. She made one offhand joke. No one in their right mind thinks that she's a racist. She made one offhand joke and they canceled her. Well, here she is telling Bill what she thinks about people who do that sort of thing.
F*** you, if you can't take a joke, f*** you, you fascist. That's how I feel, Bill. And I you mean, know what? But I don't give a f*** what color your ass is. If you ain't doing right for your own people or anybody's right. people in this country where people are sleeping in the streets and it makes me f***ing sick, then f*** you. I don't give a f*** about your feelings. You are offensive to me. You better take care of the people living and dying in these streets. F*** off.
A lot of beeping, bleeping. You know what's funny about the bleeps? Look at my finger. That's from the bleeping. You see that? I have a broken finger from all the F-bombs. Just kidding. It's not from the F-bombs. I was playing basketball last night. Scored 15 points, by the way, hit 5 threes. My team did lose in the playoffs, but I broke my finger right at the end. I think it's broken. It looks like it's broken. Something ain't right. It's not really, yeah, that, it actually, does it look worse on television than it looks in? Anyway, I'll be all right. Don't worry. I'm a lefty anyway. It's okay. Last lefty thing about me is that I write with my left hand. But anyway, what brings Roseanne Barr and Bill Maher and Dana White and Elon Musk and Tucker Carlson and me and you together? Maybe it's truth. Maybe that the human experience is so deeply connected to truth that when they assault us and assault us and assault us, all we've got left is F you. So whether you like DeSantis or you like Trump, at least let's really figure out what and who the enemy is. Let's figure that out, then we can deal with the political stuff. So that's like the space that Bongino and I are working between right now. Like, we happen to have different candidates at the moment, but we are united via something that is much bigger than I like this guy, you like this guy. We have to save this country. This is the last chance. So let's go ahead and do it. If you'd like to join us for a post-game show, please do at rubinreport.locals.com. People of the internet with the viral videos of the day and your calls will be live at 1 p.m. Eastern. We've got a new account on X/Twitter for show clips. It's at rubinreportshow. We leave you with an LOL cold close. Goodbye.
Okay. Recent polls have shown a fifth of Americans can't locate the U.S. on a world map. Why do you think this is?
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps, and I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere like such as, and I believe that they should, our education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S. or should help South Africa and should help the Iraq and the Asian countries, so we will be able to build up our future for our children.
Thank you very much, South Carolina.
Thanks for tuning in to The Rubin Report. You can watch the show live every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern and 8 a.m. Pacific on Rumble, Locals, and YouTube. Don't forget to rate, review, share, and subscribe to this podcast. And you can join me for the post-game wrap-up every day after the show at rubinreport.locals.com.